She's eight now.
She's eight. Okay. All right.
That was
okay.
When she was five.
Ah, okay. All right. The book Young and in Love, Challenging the Unnecessary Delay of Marriage, has challenged you in your thinking. Don't feel alone, because something's got to challenge us, because something is that we're not doing right. Something is that we're not doing right, friends. And I think, you know, I appreciate, Ted, your courage in being able to bring this up, take whatever heat is necessary. So praise the Lord for that. We trust that marriages will be advanced in the name of the Lord and bring glory to his name as a result. Friends, this is Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. Our viewpoint concerning our marriages and even delay of marriage is determining destiny. So I want to urge you to seriously consider these thoughts. And then, you know, day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. And today is one of those days. So send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. He's not doing it, friends. And this is a tough time, a very tough time. So can we trust you? Well, we'll trust God to speak in your life. God bless you. Be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you listen to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Dr. David Kennedy, and we're going to be talking, well, about one of the greatest frauds ever perpetrated on any civilized civilization, and that would be, of course, water fluoridation. And we're told, oh my goodness, we have to fluoridate the drinking water, it's for the children, because, of course, if we didn't do that, they'd have cavities in their teeth. And yet, of course, if you look at the communities where they've had water fluoridation for 40 or 50 years, San Francisco, New York, a lot of the children have terrible teeth, and yet, of course, they have fluoridated water. So how could you have it both ways? Well, actually, of course, it has nothing to do with water fluoridation. It has to do with dental hygiene. You brush your teeth. You don't get cavities. If you don't, you do get all sorts of problems. But, of course, this has to do with another agenda, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And most doctors, most dentists, oh, water fluoridation is so important. Why do they believe that? Why, they're told it by their medical journals. They're told it by their medical societies. Of course, experts are brought in to tell them that this is one of the great public health city of the triumphs of all time, and dental dentition is so much better since we began fluoridating the water, and that is absolutely, absolutely true. Our dental hygiene is better than it was 50 or 60 years ago because most people brush their teeth and they use dental floss, and a lot of them use the fluoridated toothpaste, and the fluoride is so toxic it kills the bacteria, and dental caries is a disease, a bacterial disease. You get cavities in your teeth because the bacteria, of course, erode the dentine, and they simply make holes in your teeth, and it is the bacteria that's doing it. But you don't want to hear me talk about it. David Kennedy, bring us up to date with what's happening with water fluoridation, please.
Well, there's a lot of things happening with it. California has a thing called Prop 65, and fluoride in its salts was nominated about a little over a year ago, as a carcinogen. And that just drives the dentist crazy. So they immediately put out $200,000 to the lobbyists. They don't want to know anything about the science, but they want the lobbyists to, you know, try to turn it around. And they're going to hold another hearing this next week in Sacramento. And my hat's off to, at least so far, to the cancer nomination. They're all oncologists and physicians. And during the first time, they said, I heard two or three of them talking among themselves, and they said, I don't really want to do this, but, you know, gee, the numbers are right there, you know, and it seems to be pretty obvious, you know, and they nominated it as a carcinogen.
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious that fluoride produces cancer. We've known that for a long time.
Well, you and I, but the oncologist people are more into treating cancers other than, you know, figuring out what caused it, So anyway, the OEHA, Office of Human Health Hazard Assessment, took a study by the Colgate Palmolive editor. I mean, you know, I'm like, boy, that's not biased, is it? And he did a study where he kept telling, oh, he's going to do a better study. He's going to do a bigger study. And he had people with bone cancer as his controls for people with bone cancer, and said, see, there's no difference. Well, gee, I don't think you have to know a lot about science to say you can't use somebody with bone cancer as a control for somebody with bone cancer. And they both had exactly the same amount of fluoride in their bones. And they said, see, they got the same amount of fluoride in their bones. Well, they both had cancer, too.
Okay, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. David Kennedy. But ladies and gentlemen, we're poisoning the public. We're destroying the minds of children and of the black segment of society. Well, you go right ahead, David. Why don't you give us the background? What is this study and how are they using people with cancer to evaluate people with cancer? What's this all about?
This is great.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey Water Filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Of bone cancer in the long bones, and certainly there's a conscious effort to cover this up. You must understand there are people who want water fluoridation because they know what it does. What does water fluoridation do? Why, it limits fertility, it lowers the sperm count, it certainly lowers the intelligence 5 to 10 points on the IQ. Certainly it leads to osteoporosis, it leads to cancer, and not just cancer of the long bones, but other studies that show in communities where you have fluoridated water, you have a significant, maybe a 34 or 40% increase in the incidence of cancer. Certainly it disrupts the function of the thyroid because the fluoride competes with the iodine to get into the bones. And it influences the brain, increases the incidence of Down's disease, disrupts the endocrine system, and those, it increases the incidence of heart disease. All of these things can be proven by scientific studies. People throughout the world know what's going on. Scientists have been clamoring for years to stop this. But because, well, I call the Brotherhood of Darkness controls the medium, why, of course, they've been able to suppress this. Now, is there legislation that says, if there's a question about, in California, is there a question, legislation that says, if there's a question about increasing the incidence of cancer, then they have to take it out of the drinking water? What's this legislation really about?
No, they don't have to take it out of the drinking water. They just have to put a little label on it. It says, oh, by the way, your drinking water contains a substance which is known to the state of California to cause cancer or neurological defects or infertility birth defects. So this is called Prop 65, and you've seen these labels. If you ever drove into a gas station and looked at the label on the pump, it says, you know, this pump contains chemicals that are known to the state of California to cause cancer.
Yeah, but wait a minute now. Drinking water doesn't come in a container. Drinking water is what you get out of the tap. How are we going to inform the people that, of course, their drinking water is potentially going to disrupt and destroy their lives and the lives of their children?
Well, one of the mechanisms they have is a thing. It's called the Annual Drinking Water Quality Report. It's required by law that they send it out to you. And right now, if you opened up your annual drinking water quality report, anybody has a bill. If you're a renter or something like that, you don't get this nice piece of paper. But if you pay for your own water, then the water company will send you this little piece of paper, and it says, here's a contaminant, fluoride. And it says naturally occurring, and it can be up to 2 parts per million, and the public health goal is 1 part per million. The guy that developed that admitted he lied, but anyway. At a scientific meeting, and it tells you all of this stuff, and it says added to the water in 2010, and you know, it's beneficial for teeth. So, you know, wait a minute. This is an ad for adding, and they don't add fluoride to the water anyway. It's hydrofluosilicic acid, which is from the phosphate fertilizer mines of China, Japan, Mexico, and Florida. So. Basically what we have is a misleading document here in the first place, but...
Is there any way to sue? Is there anybody to sue the companies reporting that out?
You can get right on that as soon as you get an attorney in your pocket. You know, it's just the cost of doing that. You'd win, but, you know, it's like, I'd love to do that. If anybody wants to, listening to this program, wants to help us do that, the people we should sue right away is the OEHA, the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, because they're lying. And they've actually, in depositions, admitted that they're lying.
I would think that because if you got a lawyer and there was an opportunity to make a lot of money on this, right, the class action suit, that, of course, you could find somebody who would be willing to go along with it.
What they say, you can't sue City Hall. So, you know, suing the government for malfeasance is often considered an exercise in futility because, after all, the judge works for the government too, you know.
Well, but I would think that there would be, you know, you might be lucky enough to get a good judge, but the important thing is that certainly you've got the information out. People have to understand they and their children are being poisoned. And basically, of course, the hydrofluorosilicic acid, the devastating effects that it has, and the fact that it increases the level of the lead in the blood of children, and it specifically targets black children, because they get a six-fold increase in the incidence of a level of lead in their blood, and there's a direct correlation between criminal activity and the use of the hydrofluorosilicic acid, at least according to Dr. Roger Masters.
Yes, I'm learning.
I know you know about these studies. And that is why, in my estimation, these kids are getting lead encephalopathy and why one in three young black men, 21 to 31, are in prison, probation, or parole today.
Well, don't forget the Hispanics, because they're almost as bad as African-Americans.
Right.
But even lead is a carcinogen. So even if you love the fluoride, making the children's lead levels go up would be considered a crime. I mean,
but it is a crime. I mean, this is one of the worst crimes ever committed. And the fact that the media lies about it, the medical associations lie about it, the dental associations lie about it, and the government officials lie about it. I mean, I would think that the people would be up in arms about this.
Yeah, they need a little, maybe they need to quit drinking the water. I don't know. I'm up in arms. I'm upset about it. But you know how you can tell they're lying is that they won't come and debate. You know, they won't appear on your program. They won't discuss the dose that they think is appropriate for a baby. Because everybody admits that if you make a baby formula, the tap water formula with the optimally fluoridated water, you're going to poison the baby. Well, I think that means the word optimally fluoridated is probably misapplied. If you're poisoning the baby when you give them the formula out of the tap water, that seems like an inappropriate thing to put something in the water that's going to make, say, a person that's using the tap water, have a sick baby.
But it actually hasn't the CDC actually recommended that they not use a tap water when they mix the formula for children up to 6 months of age?
American Dental Association, the Center for Disease Control, the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's even on the webpage of the Metropolitan Water District, who is putting fluoride in the water of 18 million people. But you got to have a computer and know how to search on their webpage to find it. They didn't say that when they sent the water to your house. They said, oh, it's really good for your teeth, but it's poisoning the baby if it's your house. They need to tell us that.
No, but was it 6 months of age or 2 months, 2 years of age before you could really have a child drink of the water that comes out of the tap if it's fluoridated?
I don't think they can ever have very much of it. That if you were looking at the dose schedule that the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Dental Association recommend, from none for babies, none at all for babies, and they never say a thing about hydrofluorosilicic acid because that's never been approved to be swallowed by anybody. But if you were going to use pure sodium fluoride or something like that, they can have the equivalent of one cup up to the age of three, two cups up to the age of six. Well, think about that. The little 2.5-year-old was out playing in the hot summer sun today, and they came back to the door and said, Mommy, I'd like a glass of water. And she said, oh, no, Junior, you had a cup of Minute Maid orange juice that was reconstituted with tap water, and so you've already had your daily dose of fluoride. Wait till tomorrow. You know, this is ridiculous.
Even worse than that, David, because, of course, the whole justification for putting this in the water, putting fluoride in the water, is for children's teeth. And now they're saying that you shouldn't be giving it to the children because it's toxic. I mean, you can't have it both ways, or I suppose maybe you can when the world's gone mad.
They were lying in the first place. Fluoride causes teeth to become mottled and funny looking, spotted, weak. They crumble. They get cavities. And if you brush your teeth with a fluoridated toothpaste, you accelerate the periodontal, the bone loss. So it is a fallacy that fluoride has any benefit in terms of oral health. And so it was a lie from the get-go. It was out by the nuclear people who were making the bomb. They had the stuff to get rid of, so they decided to come up with a big lie. It's all those dummies. They can't figure out we're lying. And they will not show up to debate any of these issues. They will not, because they know they're lying, so they just don't come.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment on this issue, give us a call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And you really need to understand the background. what this is all about. They're poisoning our children. They're intentionally, maliciously poisoning our children, and they know what they're doing. Now, the average doctor doesn't know, the average dentist doesn't know, but he's not going to do the study that is necessary. But if you want to verify what I'm saying, you go to the website of the scientists who work for the Environmental Protection Agency. They've been frantically trying to get the word out for a long period of time. Their website is NTEU280.org. NTEU280.org, and go to their website. That's their website. Go to a fluoride alert. Is that org? Fluoride alert. Fluoridealert.org. Go there and get copies of the journal Fluoride. They're up on the internet. It's a scientific journal by scientists throughout the world who are trying to get the information out. And they publish this magazine. If you have to sort of track it down on the internet, it's hard to find, but you can get it and read their articles. Or actually, we have a syllabus. We have a talk on this. We have a syllabus on this. The talk is on fluoride and on a DVD. And the syllabus is excellent because it has all of this information you need. We can even provide you with that report from the scientists who work for the EPA. If this is true, why doesn't every American know? And the reason they don't know is the media is controlled, ladies and gentlemen. They've infiltrated organized medicine. They've infiltrated organized dentistry. They certainly have intimidated people in government. There are people in government who know what's going on, but they want to keep their jobs. And they know they'll not only lose their jobs, they'll be blacklisted. They may never get a job again if they tell the truth. And I had one doctor, a professor up at the University of Ontario, I believe that was what it was. And he actually told me, he said, you know, I can't come on your program because I've been threatened. And I'm not going to risk my children over this issue. But you can get my writings up there on the internet, and we'll be back in just a moment. They threaten people, ladies and gentlemen. They threaten them. Well, David, you go right ahead.
Yeah, they threaten people, but that, you know, the people get shot in war, and, you know, if we ran away and hid, we'd still be, you know, under the king's thumb, too. You know, that they threaten it all.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friends' interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Interviews there. He goes to China and he shows you the difference between the children who are drinking fluoridated water and those who are not. It's really a very marked distinction. But of course, you can get my talk on water fluoridation and the syllabus goes with that. It's as good as anything out there. Certainly, we carry the book on, I believe it's called The Fluoride Deception. We have certainly have four tape sets on this subject. We carry Dr. David Kennedy's two excellent DVDs, each one, as I say, with four 30-minute programs. So you get a two-hour program on each DVD. If you have a question, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Yes, sir, where you watch television every evening, what do you hear about Conrad Murray? Oh, my goodness. And we're going to have pictures of Michael Jackson's a doctor and hear what he said and we're going to play recordings of Michael Jackson. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just to take up time. They're poisoning our children. The scientific evidence is there. There are people all across the country trying to get the truth out, but because of the control of the media, the information's not getting out. If you have a question or comment, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. They're poisoning our children with lots of things. They're putting a deadly poison in that has a breakdown product of methanol and formaldehyde. It's called NutraSweet. They know it's a poison. The scientists kept it out of the food for 15 years until Donald Rumsfeld, that great hero of 9/11, who was responsible for the no-fly orders on September 11, 2001. Donald Rumsfeld got aspartame accepted by the FDA, paid the guy a fantastic amount of money back in 1981. He was on the Reagan transition team, put his man into the FDA for a few days to get this thing through. And because it's really all about population control, this is what the high government officials told Betty Martini, who incidentally is going to be one of our speakers at the conference. You'll want to come and hear Betty of talking about aspartame. But tonight we're talking about water fluoridation. So suddenly there are all sorts of new things coming out all the time. David Kennedy's on the front lines of this battle. What is going on? Is there anything that the average individual in the audience can do other than wring their hands and perhaps, get the information off the internet from the lawyers, from the scientists who work for the EPA? That's at www.NTEU280.com. Is that .com, isn't it?
.com, I believe, yes.
All right, NTU280.com, and then, of course, fluoridealert.org. But you need to have the information. You need to talk about it. You need to try to get people to actually understand that they're poisoning the children, and they know they're poisoning the children. And then you wonder why, when our kids graduate from college or graduate from high school, they can't compete effectively with children from other countries throughout the world. Why do you think that suddenly we're 46th as far as, suddenly the ability of our children to compete in competitive examinations when they quit high school? Oh, they say, well, it's just we need more teachers. We don't need more teachers. We're poisoning the children. We're poisoning their minds. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But you go right ahead, David.
Well, you say what they can do. There's two things that people listening to this program can do right away. One is they can order the two DVD sets, watch it, and then go figure out how to get it on their public access TV. And when they get that done, contact me, because I've got 20 programs, and we just put about 10 more on the can. So we have a whole season of programs that will play on your public access TV. I say that's how you immunize your community against a whole bunch of mistakes that are going on. So that's step one.
Well, if you have more, please send them up to me and we'll...
Well, they're not in DVD sets.
Oh, I see.
They're, we'd have to... And public access TV wants them formatted.
Oh, I see.
I'll do that. I'll pay a company to do that and get them to you. You just got to get them on the air, because we got to tell people about this. That's the way you go around the media that won't play our story.
And if you have any sort of relationship with your doctor or dentist, just ask them to watch this. Plead with them to watch it and tell them, if they're not going to be concerned about the fact that their organizations are poisoning people, then you're going to find another dentist, you're going to find another doctor. Challenge them to do the scientific work and challenge what they're told by the medical association.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the whole house water fluoride removal system and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Destroying their health, affecting their heart, infecting their minds, lowering their intelligence, lowering their fertility, increasing the incidence of Down's disease, lowering the sperm count, and on and on and on. Fluoride is one of the most dangerous of all of the minerals. Of course, it's a deadly poison. This is what you use in rat poison. But, of course, even more than that, of course, the reason that fluoride works in toothpaste is because it kills the bacteria. It actually poisons the bacteria. It poisons the bacteria. What do you think it does to you and to your children? And basically, they know exactly what they're doing. But, of course, you understand that then, of course, it's not simply sodium fluoride they're putting in. They're putting in hydrofluorosilicic acid, which, of course, increases the levels, certainly, of lead in the blood of children. They did a study where they used 450,000 children. This is a CDC study, so they know what they're doing. 450,000 children, and they did finger sticks, got blood specimens, and then, of course, they tested them for the level of lead. They wanted to know whether the level of lead went up in communities where they used hydrofluorosilicic acid in the water, and they found it doubled in white children, one of four times in Hispanic children, one of six times in black children, which, of course, is why you see so much criminal activity in black children, because they're getting lead encephalopathy, and they know this. This is covered by Dr. Roger Masters. We have his material, and you can get this off the Internet. If you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call. The number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. David, is there any one article somebody could read to really get the facts down, a good source of information that you have or you would suggest for them?
Well, you know, it's too big an issue to wrap your head around one article, but, you know, the best book on it, I think, was The Fluoride Deception by Christopher Bryson, and he explained how industry and government work together to kind of keep us in the dark, you know, and so that's what they're doing, is they're keeping us in the dark because it's a deadly poison, but it's also valuable. I mean, you couldn't weld without it. You know, it's your flux is fluoride. You know, there's so many industrial uses for it, but it leaks out of everywhere they crack gasoline. You know, you got bunker oil coming out of the ground. How would you turn it into gasoline? You couldn't crack it unless you had fluoride to break the molecules apart. So it's a very useful molecule in terms of the industry, but it leaks out of everywhere it's used, and workers are exposed to it. I have videotape. One of my talks is about workers that at an Alcoa plant that came to see us because they were crippled. They couldn't, you know, if you pointed a gun at them and said, stick them up, they'd have to put their hand about the level of their shoulder because they can't lift their arms over their head. And these were young guys. These are 45, 50 years old. They're poisoned in their job. And so you get denial from, you know, occupational health and safety. Oh, it's just a little bit, a little bit. But if you measure the amount of fluoride in their bones, it's a whole lot. And one guy was a welder. He talked about when they had to repair the equipment, they wouldn't let them clean it off. And they'd, you know, weld it, and then they'd go throw up. Well, what's that? Well, nausea is a symptom of fluoride poisoning. There's an article a long time ago about two little twin girls that would throw up every night before they went to bed. Dad would take them to the emergency room, on and on and on. This went on for a month. And then finally he figured out that if he didn't give them a fluoridated toothpaste to brush with, they didn't get sick. Well, these little girls were just getting enough, even though they spit it out. Kids can't spit. You know, they're like, you know, anybody's had a baby knows that, you know, they don't start spitting until they're older. Well, the reflex is to swallow. So anything you put in that child's mouth is going to go down the hatch. Well, you know, if you got poison on the toothbrush, it's going down the hatch. It's insane to have poison in the child's mouth. Don't do that. But anyway, the only way we're going to get this to turn around is for a lot of people to get angry and step up and start doing the work that it takes to turn it around. It's not a democracy, because we've already voted it out 70 times. We have to do exactly what the people in Libya did. We have to get out in the streets and say, I'm tired of this government doing something to me that I don't want done. And that's all I can tell you about it, because we've already voted it out. The politicians need to know that they're not going to have a nice cushy job and paid health care and a driver to move them around if they keep on acting like they are.
Well, basically, you said if it voted it out 70 times. Now, we know that the Sydney communities have done this. In fact, I'm going to, I think next week, going to be interviewing a gentleman in Florida, and he was instrumental in getting Sydney fluoride removed from the drinking water in his community. And certainly I know that communities across the nation are certainly removing it. But you mentioned we voted it out 70 times. Where was this done? And give us the background.
Well, it's all of the cities in California, the issue has come up again and again and again and again and again. San Diego, we voted no twice, and it's in our water right now. What do you think of that? Davis, I think, has got the record. There were 8 times.
I mean, they voted it out 8 times, and they're putting it in anyway?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't believe in democracy.
Well, basically then, what did they do? Did they certainly pay to get people onto the board of supervisors and introduce it, or what?
They do that, too. We have a water board here in San Diego that was not willing to go along with the deal, and so the California Dental Association put up their own candidate and got rid of the pesky old people that thought it was not a good idea to have it in water.
You know, I would think that the people to sue would be the California Dental Association.
Well,
now, basically, of course, they are not protected like government would be, and you can show conspiracy how they're putting up money for to hire lobbyists to lobby to damage people. California Dental Association would have a very, very deep pocket. And what a wonderful opportunity, actually, to actually use this as a vehicle to educate the public. Because, of course, if they were to lose the lawsuit and to lose, I would sue them for maybe $100 million. And basically, there's no reason. And this would be a class action suit. The idea the money would be distributed to the people whose lives and children have been destroyed.
Well, this may shock you, but they were sued over the issue of mercury fillings, and that they argued successfully in court that they owe no duty of care to the public. They're a trade association. They represent only the interest of their membership.
Well, maybe they do, but basically they may be a trade association, but if you just kill somebody and you're a trade association, you're still responsible for that.
Well, what they're telling you is that you can't rely upon what we're saying, because we're lying anyway, but a lawyer named Nidell has recently filed a lawsuit on behalf of a young girl. Her parents bought fluoridated bottled water for her baby bottle, as was recommended by their dentist, and Nestle's is one of the companies that made it, and she drank that on a regular basis all the way through childhood, and now she has severe dental fluorosis. Her teeth look like awful. And so they said, well, what could possibly happen there? And the dentist says, oh, you got too much fluoride. And she said, well, where could I get the fluoride? Well, you probably gave it to her in the baby bottle. We don't recommend that anymore. So anyway, so that lawsuit is now grinding through the courts. And so that we'll see how that works out. And Mr. Nidell did mention, I just did an interview with Mr. Nidell for my program.
No, this is the gentleman, is that the lawyer?
Lawyer.
That's the lawyer, okay.
He's a lawyer representing the lady, the young woman now that has the model C. It's
right,
called dental fluorosis. It's a proven effect. Only one thing causes dental fluorosis, and that's fluoride. So it's got the right name. We know what caused it. And he said that organizations such as, the National Kidney Foundation, when they were confronted with the people with bad kidneys shouldn't drink fluoridated water because it accumulates in their bones at a much higher rate than other people. And so a letter to the National Kidney Foundation by Robert Reeves, an attorney, said that your liability may be enhanced by your recommendation that members of your organization who have failing kidneys or weak kidneys drink fluoridated water will be more likely to be injured, and that this doesn't seem like a reasonable recommendation. And he read to them their 1950 paper that said people with bad kidneys should avoid fluoride, and then they changed their mind and decided they weren't going to recommend it. But if you go to the National Kidney Foundation page, you won't find that information there. You have to Google or search on their page for fluoride or fluoridation, and it's on their page. I don't think that that's completely covered them. They've basically changed their stance. They removed their name from that big long list that the dentists carry around, but their name still appeared on the last list I saw. So, you know, they get some liability, but there's lots of people on that list. The Chamber of Commerce is on that list. Touristic Convention Bureau is on that list. Well, if you're making a recommendation, you come to my city and drink this fluoridated water, what if you got a baby with you? You know, what if the baby has lead encephalopathy? You know, what if I happen to have some Hispanic children? You know, you mentioned that the blacks, one of the things that's really, really cracked this open is the disproportionate harm to African-Americans and Hispanic children. Reverend Andrew Young, who former ambassador to the UN, he was the number two guy with Martin Luther King, sent a letter to the Georgia legislature and asked them to stop all fluoridation programs because it's causing disproportionate harm to the African-American community. Reverend Durley is a minister, and he also has joined the Black Pastors Association, and they, too, have asked that this procedure stop all throughout the state of Tennessee, and they sent the letter nationwide. We had a meeting here in San Diego. Bishop McKinney, as a leader of a very large African-American church, he opened up his cathedral so that we could fill it full of people, both black and white and brown, and talked about disproportionate harm. We're going to march on City Hall in the next month or so. And so that it's not appropriate in a country for a government program to injure the children, and we're telling them that.
And to target blacks. See, I think that's a wonderful, I mean, I hate to use racial division, but they are targeting blacks. They know what they're doing. They know, for instance, that one in every three young black men is in prison, probation, or parole. And you find them in prison, probation, or parole in communities where they're drinking this fluoridated water, fluoridated with hydrofluorosilicic acid. That's what Dr. Roger Masters found when he analyzed this. And he's a sociologist. He's not a chemist or a doctor or a dentist. He's a sociologist, and he wanted to know why there is so much criminal activity among the blacks. And, of course, he went to this study and found out, of course, that these children were getting so much lead. And, of course, lead has a profound effect on the brain. It leads to lead encephalopathy. And these young, we have our prisons full of young black men with lead encephalopathy. And they know why this is, but they really are people within what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, with an intense hatred of blacks, and we need to join together with our black brothers and sisters and walk. In fact, I wish I could come down there and walk to City Hall with you and be out there in the front steps of the City Hall with a blowhorn and explain that this is targeting the black community.
You know, you're absolutely correct, but you know, I've been trying to get people to talk about harm for 25 years. If we want to talk about disproportionate harm, I'm good with that, too, because it's hurting all the children. And here's how you can tell, is that if you look at infant mortality, the United States used to be the best in the world. We were number one or number two worldwide after World War II. The war had been devastated to the nations of the world, and here we were, having just fought a three-and-a-half-year devastating war, we were number one and number two year after year after year after year. And when they began their fluoridation program, the infant mortality began to go up, and we are now behind Malaysia. We are number 42 or 44 in the world today. Croatia has a better infant survival than we do. If we were having an infant survival rate at the same rate as we used to, or as many countries in the world like Sweden and Norway and Denmark and Germany do today, that we have an additional 18,000 babies a year are dying in our country that should not die, and I'll tell you why. Is that they have formula with silica fluoride, which is causing their lead level to go up. The day they're born, they get an injection of mercury. Their mother gets dental work during the pregnancy, so the baby comes out. One out of six babies have mercury levels in their bodies that is high enough to cause brain damage of that child the day they're born.
Have they actually checked that, the blood levels of mercury in newborn children?
Yeah, and they know where it's coming from. It's coming from either injections of the mother with Rogam or from dental work. And that and we can make the mother's blood level of mercury go down if we take all of her fillings out carefully before she gets pregnant, at least 7 to 8 months before she gets
what
pregnant.
What about her drinking the fluoridated drink?
That makes her lead level go up. So there, I got to tell you about it.
No, because I'm basically we're mixing mercury and fluoride. But go ahead.
I understand. Let me tell you about the experiment that mixed them. Is that there was an experiment on rats where they give 100 rats enough lead and only one rat died. And said, okay, so that's an LD1. And then they had 500 rats and they gave them a little bit of mercury and only one rat died. So that's an LD1 500. So that's, and then they gave them both 600 rats the same dose of lead and mercury together and they all died, killed all the rats. So when you have lead and mercury together, you get a much more toxic result than either one alone. Well, when you put fluoride in the water, you end up giving the kids lead. And when you put mercury fillings in the teeth, you end up giving the kid mercury. And then that's why we have 18,000 more babies dying in the first year of life and about five times that many in the first 5 years of life. And our longevity has dropped also. So that's what's going on in America. We're killing off our people. We're killing off the babies. And we're doing it with toxic elements that are well known. They've been studied thoroughly. It's really obvious. We can even look at the hips and the joints that are going bad. You can cut those hips apart, measure the amount of mercury, fluoride, and lead in that joint, and it's too high. It's way too high. We have as much lead in our bones as the Romans did, and they had lead pipes, and they put lead salt and lead sugar in their wines and all that. So we are making a mess out of our country.
And basically, this lead then is related directly then to the hydroflow silicic acid.
You got it. So it like the UCSD professor Gerhard Strausser said, it's never one thing. It's all of them together.
Right. And because basically, ladies and gentlemen, the lead level goes up in the areas where they put the hydroflow silicic acid in, and 90% of communities that have fluoridated water don't fluoridate it with sodium fluoride. They fluoridate it with hydroflow silicic acid. And, of course, that increases the level of lead. They've done a study with 450,000 children. They know exactly what they're doing. They're poisoning our children. They're poisoning our mothers. And, of course, where is the outcry? And, of course, you're not going to hear it. And this is why I do what I do and why David does what he does. As soon as you get those new DVDs done, will you give us a call?
Will do. And the number is 23 million Californians are drinking hydrofluosilicic acid right now.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. David Kennedy. David, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your website.
Well, I sent them off to YouTube, and my YouTube is...
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friends' interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Of course, we have a syllabus that goes with that. It's called The Hidden Agenda, and I believe the talk is the hidden agenda. The syllabus is the hidden agenda. You need to get that, and you have our permission to copy this. You can get just the talk by itself, but the syllabus has so much great information to get the two of them together. It's a reduced cost, and then, of course, we have a four-tape set on this. We carry the book, The Fluoride Deception. We carry Dr. David Kennedy's two DVDs, and you have his permission to copy them. You have my permission to copy anything I've produced, as long as you're not selling it. Copy it. Get it out. Get the information out. They're killing our children. They're knocking down their IQs. They're increasing the incidence of Down's disease and adult heart disease, and of course they're certainly decreasing fertility. There are all sorts of scientific studies that show it lowers the male sperm count. Why do you think the male sperm count's 50% of what it used to be? Do you think that just happens? No, they're poisoning us, ladies and gentlemen. And they're poisoning your mind, and they're poisoning your body, and all of your organs and your endocrine system, and they're doing it with either sodium fluoride, but most of it with hydrofluorosilicic acid, which increases the level of lead in your blood, and you may very well be developing lead encephalopathy. And certainly the blacks are developing it, and they know what they're doing. You need to get Dr. Roger Masters' material, and you can get that from us or from Dr. Roger Masters at Dartmouth. And then, of course, we do hope that we want to remind you that we're having an all-day seminar. It's going to be on the 23rd of October, and it's going to be right here in the Monterey Bay area at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We've only got another about 8 days still to make your reservations. We've got right now well over 100 people coming. We're anticipating over 150. And, of course, we are serving lunch. Program starts. It just will open the doors at 7:30. We will actually begin promptly at 8:30. We will go through until 5:30 or 6. There'll be time for questions. We're serving lunch, so you're going to have your reservations. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And, well, I hope you can make it. I think you'll find it fascinating. We've got a lot of people coming back who come every year. And then, of course, we want to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we've picked up a couple of, well, I think we picked up four stations or five stations here in the last 2 months. But they all have to be paid for, so we do need your help. And if you're in a position to help us, why, give us a call at 1-800-5-4-4-8-9-2-7, 1-800-5-4-4-8-9-2-7. 844-8927, or I said, if you're not in a position to help financially, then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, protection, pray for our staff and our family, because we are on the front line of a diabolical battle, a battle against a people who have a different set of moral standards, who want to destroy humanity, who want to destroy this country. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And if you don't have the wherewithal or you don't want to put out the money to get it, why go to our website, radioliberty.com. Go down to where it says videos and scroll down. That's the first video is the Brotherhood of Darkness talk from which the book came. The book did not lead to the talk. The talk came from the book. So you get it there, as well as so many of our other DVDs. They're there. You can listen to our programs. You can read our newsletters. So much information there. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Grigg, who, of course, used to be the senior editor of the New American Magazine. And now, of course, he is one of the editors of the Republic Magazine, an excellent magazine, conservative. And, of course, William writes a number of blogs. Some of them are on the Lou Rockwell site, and you certainly want to have his material. He ordinarily writes our monthly newsletter. I don't know whether he's going to get around to it this month, but I hope so under any circumstances. William, it's good to have you with us.
Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and I have written the newsletter for October, and I sent it about a week ago, but I'll resend it.
I've never gotten so few of mine. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sorry we've had that problem a couple of months running, so I'll see if I can tighten up our delivery systems.
Okay, fine. You go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, you're probably aware of the parable that the ancient Roman statesman and orator Cicero shared when he was talking about Dionysus II, who was the tyrannical ruler of an ancient kingdom located in, I think, Sicily would be the nearest approximation. They were called Syracuse. Dionysus II was a tyrant of such long-lived reputation that he actually was used by Plato and some of the other ancient philosophers to exemplify the type of a despot who could reorder people's lives to his whim. He was sort of the ancient equivalent to what King George III or Bonaparte or Hitler would be in those periods of time in terms of exemplifying tyranny. According to Cicero, there was an occasion when a visitor to the royal palace named Damocles was expressing envy over the fact that Dionysus II lived in such splendor and luxury. But Dionysus said, "Here, sit at my table and indulge yourself of all the finery contained therein. I'll have my minions attend to your every whim." And as the delighted Damocles sat down to tuck into the feast, Dionysus ordered that an impossibly sharp sword be dangled over the outstretched neck of his guest, and it would be restrained by a single thread consisting of a horsehair. And within a few minutes, Damocles, who had broken into a sweat, started to tremble, said that he had had quite enough of luxury, and he asked to be excused, because the prospect of that horsehair thread snapping and the sword cutting off his head was ruining his appetite. And from that parable, of course, we get the expression, the sword of Damocles. That's a condition in which people are living under the specter of immediate and irrevocable harm or death at the whim of a ruler or by some bizarre quirk of circumstance. Every American citizen lives beneath that threat. Every American citizen lives in the shadow of that specter. Not a sword of Damocles, it's a drone of Damocles. We've learned over the last couple of days something that I had long suspected, that I had warned about, and it proves to be the case, that there is a secret star chamber-type panel consisting of people, apparently, who are attached to the National Security Council, who compose lists of people subject to summary execution as militants or terrorists or enemies of the state, and that they recommend to the president that such people be dispatched by whatever means the president may decide, including, of course, the death-dealing drones that are equipped with Hellfire missiles.
But, of course, William, this has been going on for a long time. I have actually talked to CIA assassins who years ago were assigned various jobs. One of them, of course, was to kill a Lieutenant Commander Spitzer, and this was probably 40 years ago. He was asked to kill him because he was a traitor to the country. He turned down the assignment, but a few weeks later, the man was dead. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. It's just becoming apparent today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is William Grigg, and he's pointing out that there is a committee or commission that, of course, has lists of people and can make recommendations to the president that these people be dispatched. But I simply pointing out that, yes, I'm sure that this is true, but I have no question that the people in government who decided that certainly Martin Luther King was expendable, and there's no question at all that he was not killed by certainly the man we've been told. Certainly this is all contrived. There's no question that Bobby Kennedy was killed by Saran. Saran, I don't believe that for a minute. I believe he was assassinated by somebody else. Saran was set up. I believe that they killed intentionally and purposely John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and I think an increasing number of people know about this. It's just a little bit more obvious recently as far as the attack over there in Yemen with the drone, but they've been killing people in the United States for a long time. Gary Webb, who we had interviewed, who'd written extensively about certainly the CIA and drugs, a young man who shot himself in the head twice because he wanted to make sure he was dead. But go right ahead.
Well, as you say, this has been an implement of state policy for as long as there have been states. And it certainly is not newsworthy to people who have challenged the officially established consensus, which is to say the lies that have been agreed upon and that we are supposedly required in order to maintain our standing in polite society. Those of us who challenge those lies, of course, are well aware of the fact that this has been an instrument of state policy here in terms of American politics and the government that rules us for as long as there has been a United States of America. And, of course, the key distinction here is twofold, the first of which is the audacity and brazenness with which they're advertising something that had previously been dismissed as the wild speculations of untethered and irresponsible minds. And the second aspect of this that I find noteworthy is the fact that we are seeing this as something which has been largely embraced by people who advertise their skepticism about government power, and I'm talking particularly now about so-called small government conservatives. the sort of people who are expansively skeptical about the employment of government power when it comes to anything other than killing or imprisoning people seem to think that this is a perfectly acceptable way to proceed, that people without the benefit of trial or due process of any kind of definition can be dispatched at the orders of a president that the conservatives quite properly disdain and revile. It just amazes me how often I hear people criticize Obama from the right who talk about him as if he were somebody who displays timidity or reluctance in the exercise of power. And that's not an accurate description.
Well, that thought, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Chris is William Craig. He's talking about the fact that it has become very obvious recently that they have lists, it's been reported now, there are lists of people who, of course, can be dispatched here in America. By dispatched, we're talking about murdered. And certainly with this recent execution that took place over in Yemen, where supposedly a man, an American citizen, who is considered, or we are told, was definitely a plotter, and he was anti-American, and we don't know any of the details. All we know is what we've been told, but we've been told that because he had been accused of being certainly anti-American and being involved in terrorism, it was perfectly all right to kill him, but he was an American citizen. They certainly could have captured him. They knew exactly where he was. They could have sent in a special forces team and apprehended him. Instead of that, they simply killed him. They established a precedent. And where is the outcry? Well, the ACLU is complaining, but everybody knows they're kooks, and if the ACLU is against it, it must be good. Go right ahead, William.
That's exactly right. For the most part, the commentary from the right has proceeded along lines that have become tragically familiar. Mr. Obama is wildly reviled on the right for many reasons. I would say most of them are entirely reasonable. He is a socialist, of a corporate socialist nature, not necessarily of the conventional Marxist nature. He's pretty much a tool of the Wall Street interests and the CIA interests who propelled him to power, who had been talent scouting him from the time that he was the young, pudgy, bright-eyed, optimistic, and intelligent offspring of a couple who had long and deep connections to the CIA. That's the aspect of Mr. Obama's biography that I find most provocative, is the fact that his mother and I guess you'd call him his stepfather, were both people who were attached to the Agency for International Development, the Ford Foundation, and a whole network of CIA front groups and interests. And I think that they talent scouted Barack Obama way back then and then cultivated him, working the left wing, if you will, of the establishment. But the right, the conservative movement in this country, it tends to despise Obama because they see him as a tyrant domestically but insufficiently zealous in asserting American power abroad, when actually you really can't slip a slice of onion skin paper between Barack Obama and his predecessor in terms of the foreign policy considerations and the civil liberties issues. And many of the people on the left who are Obama's most outspoken supporters sound like Sean Hannity and Michael Reagan about 4 or 5 years ago in their defenses of their dear leader in the White House, while the right says that he, of course, is inadequately zealous and inflicting violence and harm on people considered to be terrorists. And so the right-wing critique is that this guy is a dictator, but he needs to be more assertive in exercising his power. And many of his critics over the last week or so have said that nothing he did became him quite like ordering the summary execution of two American citizens, one who was executed by way of deliberate targeting, that was Anwar al-Awlaki, and the second, Samir Khan, happened to be within the blast radius, and he was killed. I would use the word murdered as well, because summary execution without due process of law is murder. It doesn't matter who orders it or how it's carried out. But the bulk of American conservative commentary here is that these two were not really American citizens because of their adherence, their alleged adherence. The word alleged is important here. Never been proven. Their alleged adherence to al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which is not a group in any case that, assuming what we have been told is accurate, that has targeted the United States, but is considered a danger, a threat to Saudi Arabia, which is perfectly capable of defending its own interests. I mean, if al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula actually exists, and it has the profile that has been attributed to it by Washington, D.C., Americans need not lose any sleep over it, but the Saudi monarchy might well consider it to be a problem.
Well, because William, one of the excuses though, that was given for it is that this cleric, who was the American citizen, had given his blessing to Major Hassan. You remember, Major Hassan was the fellow who went to Fort Hood and supposedly killed a lot of people. But how did the government know that that the cleric had given his blessing to Major Hassan? I'm sure Major Hassan didn't get up and say, "Oh yeah, I got a blessing from this from this fellow over there in Yemen." So the government had to be, of course, listening to the telephone calls. They had to know, of course, that this man was been given his blessing to go ahead and kill a lot of American soldiers at Fort Hood. But if the government knew that, why didn't they intervene and stop it?
Yeah.
That's a very good question, but exactly. Nobody ever wants to ask these embarrassing questions. Go ahead.
Well, furthermore, what I understand is that this happened after the fact in terms of what Alaki is alleged to have said following the murders at Fort Hood. And this is a case where Hassan sought him out, not the other way around. It's not as if there's evidence that Alaki actually was actively involved in organizing or planning or lending material aid or even rhetorical support for that crime before it happened. But your point, of course, is well taken. If they had prior knowledge that this is going to happen, then somebody is an accessory before the fact here. And that happens so often where you have legitimate terrorist threats or terrorist plots against the United States. And in most other cases, there's a small number of cases that are valid, verifiable sua sponte incidents of terrorism against American interests and against American citizens that were actually plotted by people we'd have to consider to be foreign enemies of our country, very small percentage of them. And in the residue of the case that we're talking about, you're dealing with things that have been fully orchestrated by the FBI through the Joint Terrorism Task Forces that have been set up for the purpose of sending out their troops of play actors and provocateurs to rile up people who are socially marginalized and easily manipulated. That's the bulk of what's happened since September 11th, and before that, as a matter of fact. But in the case of Al-Laki, you've got somebody who, if he had actually done what he was accused of doing in terms of having material connections to actual terrorist plots against the United States, against citizens, then he should have been indicted for those crimes. That's what happened, if memory serves, with Osama bin Laden, although that indictment did not include anything having to do with September 11th. He was indicted on charges having to do with the 1998 terrorist bombings in Africa against American consulates. So there are certainly precedents here involving the indictment of somebody that fall within Congress's constitutional powers to define and punish what are called offenses against the laws of nations, offenses on the high seas of piracy and things of that sort. You do have a congressional role here that is outlined by the Constitution that has to do with what is called a law enforcement function of the federal government. So there was no indictment against the guy, and if they had indicted him, they'd have to give a bill of particulars that would be testable in a court of law. And it doesn't really matter whether you're talking about a U.S. citizen or not. The point here is that the Constitution defines what government can do by specifically authorizing it to do certain things. It's not authorized any agency of the government or any individual official within the government, the President of the United States or any panel he'd constitute, it's not authorized any official to order the summary execution of any individual on the face of the planet for any reason. There are preliminaries that have to be undertaken. If you're talking about an act of war, Congress has to declare war. If you're talking about an extraterritorial effort to rein in somebody who is an identified rogue who is committing piracy or offenses against the United States, then you have Congress issue letters of marque and reprisal. That's something that could have been done after 9/11. That's something that has been done at various times in our history, very rarely. That happened a lot during the War of 1812 when privateers were issued letters of marque to act on behalf of the United States by Congress. I've actually seen copies, and they're quite fascinating documents. If you're talking about somebody who's accused of committing a crime, and terrorism is still a crime, it's not an act of war, however much it might appeal to our visceral impulses to describe it as such, is still a crime. It's defined by statutes as a crime. Then you should indict the individual and try to extradite him or to seize him by exceptional means. And in Yemen, of course, you've got Ali Muhammad, I believe his name is. But Saleh is the last name of that thug. A perfectly loathsome and bloody-hand dictator who for the last couple of months has been executing people through his secret police, which were at one point trained by the Soviets and then equipped by the CIA, is so often the case in that part of the world. Mr. Soleil was certainly willing, he was certainly amenable to some joint venture or some unilateral venture by the United States to seize Al-Awlaki and Samir Khan if necessary for extradition to the United States. And there were technical means and personnel available to do this. But they went out of the way, and by they, of course, I'm referring to Obama, the National Security Council, the Pentagon, the CIA. They went out of the way to establish a precedent and to offer a demonstration of the capacity they have for targeting and summarily executing a U.S. citizen. You actually had a joint operation in which the Department of Defense fired one unmanned drone from one base, and the CIA launched a second unmanned drone from the second base. And they were racing to see which could get there first and deliver its lethal payload. And that's the sort of operation that really, as far as I'm concerned, is equal parts a jolly excursion for people who get their jollies by doing this sort of thing, and the case of setting a precedent that would be used for future operations of this kind. And as is the case with most undertakings of this nature, you're dealing with something that is designed to have its primary impact in the realm of propaganda and if you will, fine-tuning the attitude of the public. They wanted us to know they can do this. They wanted us to know that they are not restrained by law, that they are not in any way encumbered by the Constitution or by due process considerations. The family of Anwar al-Awlaki about a year and a half ago actually went to federal court trying to get an injunction against the President of the United States to prevent him from summarily executing Mr. al-Awlaki. The Obama administration said that there is not a court in the country with the authority to second-guess the decisions of the commander-in-chief, even in cases of this sort where you're dealing with no statutory or constitutional authority to order the death of an American citizen. And they've actually gone so far as to say that people who represent targeted individuals in court could be accused of materially aiding terrorists. So we've reached a point, literally, where we're living under that proverbial drone of Damocles. Every single one of us, in principle, could be treated this way.
Well, I think it's a frightening thing, and basically, because at least it's out in the open. They do kill people, American citizens, without a trial. We'll be back in just a moment here with William Grigg. William, you go right ahead.
Perhaps the most disturbing.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Because the one of the few people who objected to this is Congressman Ron Paul, and when he was simply reading a newspaper article, which is lambasting Congressman Ron Paul and ridiculing him, because, of course, he's not in favor of defending America, and he doesn't want to get rid of the enemies of the state. And of course, when the government says that you're an enemy of the state, that is perfectly all right to go ahead and kill you. Go right ahead.
That's exactly right. You're subject to summary execution because the so-called commander-in-chief has made that decision based on the apparently plenary and illimitable authority of the commander-in-chief. That is the Bush Doctrine. As a matter of fact, that's something that was pioneered during the Bush administration. Actually, this is something that has been implicit, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, for decades, if not longer, particularly in the post-Cold War era. Since 1947, 1948, when the National Security State was created, when the CIA was founded, when the Department of War was changed to the so-called Department of Defense and stopped defending the United States and was retooled in order to be a suitable instrument for an era of open-ended perpetual war through the UN and other organizations. Since that time, implicit in the job description of the president has been this notion that he can issue a decree and like the king holding a scepter toward Esther in the book of Esther in the Old Testament, that he can spare your life. And in doing so, he's exercising a great magnanimous gift because otherwise he could order your summary execution. That's the doctrine of the presidency these people are talking about. They're talking about the president as if he were the pharaoh before whom the entire human population were mere cattle. I mean, when people start talking about the commander-in-chief and lambasting a man like Ron Paul because he has the temerity to point out that what the commander-in-chief does is defined entirely by the Constitution and that he's not above the law, when we reach that point, and it's the so-called conservatives, the people who are supposed to be reflexively hostile to the exercise of government power, then we've reached a pretty nasty point in the degeneracy of our culture from a type of libertarian, quasi-libertarian, or small-r Republican feistiness into the docility that would be appropriate for a population of cattle or sheep. But the point that Ron Paul was making is that in the case of Timothy McVeigh, you had somebody who was arrested, who was prosecuted, who was convicted, and then he was executed according to the forms of law. This has happened on other occasions. Mr. McVeigh, who of course was the fall guy for a terrorist conspiracy that included others unknown with multiple connections to the government, to three-letter agencies, and some of the darker and dingier precincts of the national security state, was not subject to summary execution after being involved and convicted of an assault that killed 168 people. We don't have any evidence at all that Anwar al-Awlaki had any material connection to any act of terrorism anywhere on the face of the earth. But because he was designated an enemy of the state by a president that conservatives abhor, some conservatives are saying that's good and sufficient grounds to have him executed. The same thing is true of Samir Khan. Samir Khan was, I think, born and raised in Long Island. His family moved to North Carolina not long ago. His family didn't like his politics. They're all traditional Muslims. After graduating from high school about 8 years ago, he became somewhat radicalized, as have a number of young Muslim males. Not because they're filled to the brim with reflexive hatred for American Americans, but because they are filled with, I think, thoroughly understandable, if not justifiable, hostility toward the foreign policy of the United States government. And so Mr. Khan started to publish a magazine, an online magazine called Inspire, which has been described as the journal of Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula. And he has exercised his right to free speech, to say things that many people, myself among them, would consider to be perfectly abhorrent. What he has said in terms of his motivations was this. What they have done, that is to say the government in Washington, what they have done and continue to do in the Muslim lands is what I felt totally unacceptable to my religion. I don't see why anybody would consider it to be otherwise, whether or not you're Muslim. I mean, the foreign policy of the United States and places like Iraq and Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, for that matter, has been completely counterproductive by any rational measurement, and it's creating enemies by the millions, the tens of millions or more. But the thing I find interesting is that according to CNN, this is an article that was filed on the day of this man's death, a senior law enforcement official tells CNN Khan was being investigated by the FBI office in North Carolina, which determined it didn't have enough evidence to seek an indictment against him. And yet he's dead, and this is considered to be a perfectly valid act of policy, summary execution, although the evidence wasn't there.
Well, you know, when men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and people think they can just sit back and do nothing, they're not really involved. We are all involved, and when freedom, of course, is undermined, then no man's life or family are safe. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
Well, where do we go right ahead there?
In this column by Mark Paredes, he goes on to say the following. President Obama has elected to continue the Bush administration's post-9/11 policy of authorizing the killing of U.S. citizens abroad if there is strong evidence of their involvement in terrorist activity. There is believed to be an official secret list of those citizens who can be targeted. The elimination of a man who methodically planned to kill hundreds of his fellow Americans is Exhibit A for the wisdom of this policy. To be sure, a great deal of care needs to be taken in identifying those on the list. However, American citizenship shouldn't protect someone living abroad from suffering the immediate consequences of plotting mass murders on American soil. It's really difficult to unpack all the fallacies that are contained in this one little paragraph, but just to highlight a couple of the most significant. First of all, there's no evidence that he was involved in plotting mass murder of anybody, American or non-American, and that we have on the authority of, I believe his name is Jay Grainer, the spokesliar for the Obama administration. When pressed about that, he said that the administration didn't have any evidence. So, to begin with, there's no evidence, just as there was insufficient evidence to seek an indictment of Samir Khan. Second thing that we should point out is that a secret list, by definition, doesn't constitute due process. Take a look at the Constitution. There's nothing in it that authorizes the use of secret evidence against anybody or the maintenance of secret indictments of multiple people would be subject to the third fallacious part of this harangue by Mr. Paredes, which is the idea that there should be immediate consequences for plotting mass murders on American soil. Immediacy is not the desideratum. Justice is. You're entitled to have a fair and speedy trial, but you're not subject to immediate and summary execution. And if you're going to be waging war, there are steps that have to be undertaken. If you're going to be seeking criminal prosecution, let alone, of course, capital punishment, that's something else that has to go through a particular process. There's, of course, indictment, there's prosecution, there's conviction, there's sentencing. Those are not negotiable from the perspective of the Constitution. And this all comes by way of the Deseret News in Salt Lake City. Which is a paper, of course, that was founded and operated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hold that thought, William. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's William Grigg, and of course, we're discussing the summary execution of a couple of Americans over there in Yemen, which is really very, very difficult to justify because they really did not have sufficient evidence on either one of them to indict them. They certainly could have sent in a special forces team. They knew where they were, and they could have arrested them and captured them. They could have used the concept of mark and reprisal. It's constitutional, where you hire people to go ahead and just as exactly as we have headhunters here who track down people who actually have run out on their debts, and suddenly these people are employed to do this, and they go out and they arrest them. They're not law enforcement, but they're authorized to do this sort of thing. We have special forces teams, and certainly there'd not be any trouble with the Yemeni government because they're certainly largely financed by America. They could have done that, but it was much easier to establish a precedent that anybody can be executed who has been targeted by the government, and you don't have to prove that they're guilty of much of anything. Yeah. Well, before we go on, William, I want to tell our listeners how they can certainly get to your blog site. Now, are you the one of the editors of the Republic magazine?
Yes, I'm. I think the best approximation of my position would be to describe me as managing editor.
All right, fine. The managing editor of Republic Magazine. If you want to put a plug in for that, fine.
Yeah, RepublicMagazine.com.
RepublicMagazine.com, and then, of course, William White, tell them how to get to your PayPal button.
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you very much. My chief outlet is still Pro Libertate, my personal blog at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Freedom in Our Time, one word, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or your listeners could go to Google or any other search engine, type in my name, William N. Grigg, and most likely Pro Libertate would be the first return. If you type in Grigg and Pro Libertate or some combination of those terms, I'm pretty sure my blog will be right at the top of the list. I update it between one and two times a week, owing to the fact that I've got other things going on right now. I've somewhat eased back on the op tempo of the blog Pro Libertate. The current installment of my blog, which was republished at lewrockwell.com, as are a lot of my other writings, lewrockwell.com, the current installment is called The Awlaki Sanction, Who's Next on the List? And, of course, in the title, I advert to the fact that there is a list. This is something we have known for a year and a half, that the administration keeps a list of people who are subject to either capture or kill, or in this case, just kill outright. If you first option is to kill, if you're on that list and you don't recognize the necessity of observing due process, then the only thing that's left, of course, is summary execution. And this is something that was all but admitted when the Obama administration said that its decision to put somebody on this list is unreviewable, and that the only recourse that Awlaki had was to turn himself into a government that says that it could kill him at its discretion. So I talked about that a year and a half ago when that case was new, and then in the article that's at the top of my blog, The Awlaki Sanction, they talked about the fact that in principle, anybody who provokes the ire of an incumbent administration of whatever partisan affiliation could find himself on that same list. And a couple of days later, we found out that there is a secret committee that issues that list and that authorizes, quote unquote, I mean, it doesn't have authority to do this, so authorizes is the wrong word, that signs off on presidential orders for summary execution. That's at Pro Libertate, the blog. As you mentioned, Dr. Stan, at the bottom of every essay, I do have a PayPal button that people can use to make donations if they have the means, if they're interested in helping to support me and my family. And I am very, very grateful to you and to your listeners who have been so generous to me and to my family. That's something that I find rewarding and then humbling, and once again, something for which I'll always be grateful. The PayPal button, once again, is the bottom of every essay that I publish at Pro Libertate. Just to speak very briefly about Republic Magazine, if you go to the website, you'll see that this is a very nicely laid out and well-done magazine that's part of sort of a community of publications that deal with all kinds of fascinating subjects. It's a sibling to Survivalist Magazine. Both Republic and Survivalist are available at the better newsstands and some of your larger chain bookstores. When I've been to Barnes & Noble, of course, Borders just recently went out of business, but if you go to a Barnes & Noble, you'll probably find Republic and almost certainly find Survivalist. Usually between 48 and 64 pages an issue. We're working on the current issue right now, which is very large and perfectly infuriating and filled with the sort of stuff that makes understandable why we also put out Survivalist. Because the rule of law is dead in this country. I mean, there was a time, a very long period of time, when it was on life support and then an extended hospice care. And as far as I can tell, whatever tremor of life or whatever prospect, however dim, however fading, for revival of the rule of law died on September 30th when the President of the United States ordered the summary execution of a man identified as a U.S. citizen, never charged with a crime. And the supposedly skeptical, supposedly anti-government conservative movement in this country, almost uniformly, with the exception of Ron Paul and people of his persuasion, almost uniformly applauded this.
Well, I think if people don't understand that the leadership of the conservative movement has been compromised, but the leadership of the liberal movement has been compromised.
Yeah.
But what's most devastating is the Christian movement has been compromised, and they've infiltrated the Christian movement. And, of course, you remember the National Association of Evangelical Christians, 30 million members, Protestant organization. Certainly one of the most powerful one was headed, by a man named Ted Haggard, who wrote a letter to the United States Senate saying, praying in by chaplains of the military is in the name of Jesus Christ is a divisive issue and should not be used to hold up the military appropriations. Praying in the name of Jesus Christ is a divisive issue. In other words, we shouldn't allow that to take place in the military. Ted Haggard was a cocaine-using homosexual who led the Christians, and believe me, he's just one of many who've been infiltrated into our Christian movement, ladies and gentlemen. We got real problems.
But
where, of course, is the outcry from the good people and from the good ministers? And, well, they're just so busy, you know, arguing about all sorts of things and talking about how we should love everybody. We should never, of course, take a stand on much of anything. And certainly, after all, everybody knows God's a Republican, and so we've got to back everything that the Republicans do and criticize exactly what the Democrats do and pick up the story there. Don't get me off on that subject.
Yeah. when he brought up Ted Haggard and his megachurch there in Colorado Springs, it's really interesting that you mentioned the fact that he was completely depraved and utterly hypocritical and somebody who was morally dissolute, compromisable. But if you had taken a look at what he was doing in the years leading up to his rather spectacular implosion, he was promoting sort of a seeker-friendly version of evangelical Christianity and the warfare state. And it really doesn't seem at first glance like two messages that would cohere, that would be in any way compatible, but he somehow managed to make them work. It's almost as if they had market tested what people were after, and they had used this as a way of promoting the idolatrous worship of the state in its most brutal and gruesome and inimical function, which is the wholesale destruction of human life and liberty in the interest of promoting its own power. And that really is the core of what has happened, what has become, rather, of American mainline conservative Christianity. And this is something that was done a century ago, or at least the seeds were planted that have blossomed into our nettlesome present about a century ago, when the progressive movement was just very new. The movement that is routinely reviled by many people, properly so once again, Glenn Beck among them, makes a fetish out of talking about the evils of progressivism, even as he spouts, really, a somewhat dumbed-down version of what 100 years ago would have been seen as a perfectly heretical promotion of the warfare state and of the idea that America is somehow not merely special and exceptional because of the advantages we've been given. We're certainly exceptional in that respect. But we're somehow exceptional in the sense of being exempt from the laws that should govern all of humanity. I mean, that's what you read about when you read the Declaration of Independence, when you read in the other writings of the founders, and they talk about the laws of nature and of nature's God, the laws of nations. The idea is that there is one law which governs everybody, and we're not exempt from it. No government is exempt from it. But suddenly we start hearing that there's something wrong about suggesting that the United States and the government that rules us is under judgment because of the way we behave. That's not a message that you hear from the so-called Christian right very often. We hear about the failings of other people, So the horrible things that people do when they make mistakes with respect to sexual debauchery and assaults on the family and abortion and homosexuality, we hear a laundry list of admittedly horrible things that people do, but we never talk about the fact that we are also under judgment for the things that we have been willing to tolerate that have to do with some of the weightier matters of the law, authorizing the government ruling us to commit acts of mass murder and to impose all kinds of horrible things on people who have done us no injury. That's something that God does not look upon with favor either. If you read the Bible, particularly the book of Jeremiah, which has been sort of my bedside reading for the last few years, I've been comparing notes on what happened last time, people got the idea that they're specially favored and exempt because of the special favor they've been given. That's the sort of a message that doesn't really resonate, at least in terms of the market research that goes into the church growth movement and that plays such a role in the calculations of people like Ted Haggard. You know, we're expansively forgiving when it comes to our own shortcomings, when those are things that we should be addressing first. You know, that we're always told that we need to cleanse the inner vessel, that we really need to attend to the beam in our own eye. This is the sort of thing that our founders understood when they talked about the fact that we did not have a mission to go into the world in search of monsters to destroy. We were supposed to make ourselves emulable through our adherence to the higher principles. And that's the sort of thing that Ron Paul talks about that really puts them in bad favor with a lot of the national greatness idolaters who call themselves conservative Christians. And just before the break, Dr. Stan, I was talking about this essay that was published in the Deseret News, and I was alluding to the irony that this guy is talking about the notion that there should be summary execution for anybody who is branded a terrorist. That's his position. So if the government calls you a terrorist, you have no rights. You have, of course, no due process guarantees, no immunities that the government has to respect. The thing is that the Deseret News, which is an organ of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is the last publication I would expect to see that opinion, from which I would expect to see that opinion, because the founding prophet of the Mormon Church, as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is often referred to, Joseph Smith, was somebody who was summarily branded a terrorist and who would have been executed were it not for the principal disobedience of a lawyer and militia leader in Missouri by the name of Alexander Doniphan. In the 1830s, there was a conflict that broke out in Missouri between the Mormons and the non-Mormon settlers, and it mutated into a tragic and pretty awful low-grade civil war. This involved one really nasty ambush at a place called Crooked River, where Mormon militiamen ambushed a group of Missouri state militiamen, and the reprisal raid in response to this was wildly disproportionate and utterly hideous. There was a massacre at a place called Hans Mill, where women and children and men alike indiscriminately were killed by way of retaliation. And you had warfare, sort of guerrilla conflict that erupted as a result of this. And it got to the point where the Mormons were going to be driven from the state. The governor of Missouri at the time was a man by the name of Lilburn Boggs. He issued a decree that was called an extermination order. And in the vernacular of the time, what that meant is that these people had to be driven out of the state. If they didn't leave by a certain point, they were subject basically to imprisonment or whatever other retaliation that the militia commanders would see fit to inflict on them. Well, Joseph Smith and two of his associates were arrested after they surrendered, promising that the Mormons would relocate. As a matter of fact, they went to Illinois and built a city called Nauvoo. The commander who received the surrender was a man by the name of Major General Lucas, and he ordered Alexander Doniphan to carry out an execution after a burlesque of a trial, what some people call a drumhead trial, where they upend an ammunition barrel and then they hand out summary punishment. The order that he wrote was the following: "Sir, you will take Joseph Smith and the other prisoners into the public square at Far West and shoot them at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning." Now, Alexander Doniphan, being a man of principle and understanding his constitutional responsibilities, wrote back the following reply: "It is cold-blooded murder. I will not obey your order. My brigade shall march for Liberty, Missouri, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and if you execute these men, I will hold you responsible before an earthly tribunal, so help me God." The thing is, That's the founder of the LDS Church, which owns the Deseret News. Now, one of their columnists is saying that anybody who was designated a terrorist, Joseph Smith, was considered a terrorist on the basis of an affidavit that had been put into circulation by one of his disaffected followers. He was actually compared to Muhammad, saying that he intended to wage a holy war in Missouri and elsewhere in the United States in order to promote his new religion. He was actually described as the equivalent of a Muslim terrorist and subjected to a barrelhead tribunal, a military commission, in other words. He was a civilian. He had no military rank at the time. And according to the Deseret News, if they're going to apply their standard with any degree of consistency, then it was scandalous and unpatriotic and somewhat foolish of Alexander Doniphan not to carry out this order, because the forms of law had actually been followed and Joseph Smith was found guilty of terrorism. But they're, of course, not going to embrace that application of that principle, but they will embrace the idea that somebody who has never been indicted, let alone convicted of a terrorism-related charge, can be executed by a presidential decree, and that it is foolish and silly and perhaps a little unpatriotic of people like Ron Paul to cavil at the idea that the president has the power and the authority to carry out summary executions of this kind. It really is ironic that if you take a look at some of the policymakers who were involved in creating this doctrine, people like Jay Bybee, who had been at the head of the Office of Legal Counsel in the Justice Department in the early early years of the last decade, nearly part of the Bush administration. He's a judge, an appellate court judge now in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but he used to be the head of the Office of Legal Counsel. He was the guy who issued the memos authorizing torture and other types of abuse. This guy is likewise LDS. These are people who learned about Alexander Doniphan when they were going to Sunday school as kids. When it came down to cases, they abandoned that and embraced the idea of the all-powerful state and the omnipotent dear leader. And that's not something really that's confined to one denomination or one point on the political spectrum. It's become ubiquitous.
Well, I said you wouldn't blame all Mormons, though, because...
Not at all.
I mean, certainly I disagree with them theologically, but most of them are very wonderful, wonderful people. But
yeah.
I suspect that the hierarchy of all organizations, whether it be Protestant or Mormon or Catholic or Jewish, have been infiltrated to one degree or more. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, William, we go right ahead. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Dr. Stan, it's always a blessing and a pleasure to be with you, and I want to underscore...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional